The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Through personal experience, Jason Wilson learned that many men wage an inner war that they were never taught how to win.
God the Father showed me, says, I love you for who you are. And as men, so often we find our identities in what we do. And now we're operating our relationship with the Most High, thinking we have to go above and beyond for us performing instead of just trying to be obedient and operating in the spirit of love.
Next on Life Today.
I'm so glad you're watching Life Today right now. I'm James Robinson, and this is Betty. And I'm excited about this guy, Jason Wilson. He wrote a book called Battle Cry, Waging and Winning the War Within. And I'm telling you what, he's talking about winning the invisible war, where the invisible forces and father of lies is prevailing and overwhelming people and dividing us, defeating us, destroying us, because that's all he does. Well, what Jason's doing is he's showing people another father, and he's showing them how to live, and he uses martial arts. He uses every means. And tell us what you call your ministry. It's based in Detroit, but yes. I think you kind of reach out all over the world. We're going to talk about a little video clip that last I checked was over 100 million people watched it, him and a kid. It's really important because he's pointing to that father. Mm-hmm. But tell me about what's going on there in Detroit with your ministry.
Yeah, so our ministry is called the nonprofit. It's a nonprofit faith-based called The Union. And because Detroit has so many union locals there, we had to put a Y in front of it to separate us from being
in a union city that's so divided oftentimes over union and union demands. How did you pick union?
But what God did, because he wanted to draw his people all together, unifying the gifts so we can all shine our lights in such a way that men to see our good works but glorify him. Mm-hmm. And so the Y is silent for youth, but also could be for Yeshua or Yahweh as well.
Yeah,
and so
great.
Through it, we've reached over 15,000 youth and families through mentoring, job skills training. We also offer family and individual counseling. And the video that went viral is the Academy God told me to start called the Cave of Adullam, and that's where David ran from Saul. And as we know, the story says that 400 men who were discontented, in debt, and distressed came to him. And these 400 men who were in this emotional state, something happened in the cave so special that when they left, they were called mighty men of valor.
Isn't that great?
And so we have boys who come.
You want those boys that come right there
in
Detroit.
And
let's look at that clip. Can we do that? Let's look at it. It's a little longer than we're going to show, but this is really good.
Great.
Watch this.
Zeus! Punch all the way through. When you feel the pain, go all the way through. That could be a barrier in life or anything. Punch hard. Zeus!
Ah!
Zeus!
Ah!
You gotta punch it hard enough. Punch through it. You feel pain?
Yes, sir.
Shake that off. Let's go. Zeus!
Ah!
Zeus!
Ah!
Zeus!
Ah!
Zeus!
Ah!
Zeus! That's what this is about. Good. Let's get to that. Why are you crying? That's what this is about, son. It's okay to cry. We cry as men. Why are you crying, though, son? Tell me, why are you crying? It's hard to test for a reason, but why are you crying? Go ahead, son. Because what?
Because it is harder to punch through with my left hand.
Okay, good. But you did it, though. You punched through with your left hand. You know in life there's going to be things harder for you to do than other things?
Yes, sir.
And you know those things that may appear to be hard to do, you're going to have to do as a man? Regardless. And it's going to take tears. It's going to take the blood of Yeshua, Jesus, and your sweat to break through it. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So I don't mind you crying. I cry a lot, too. You know what I'm saying? All right? So I want you you're pulling your blow. I don't know if you're facing fear or you're feeling that you may not make it. And we all face that from time to time. And when we face, as soon as we hit resistance, we want to stop, right? Because it's hurting. We feel that pain. We're like, I'm not going through this no more, right?
Exactly.
We have to go off with those men. It's going to be very painful. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Being a black man in this country, you're going to need mental fortitude. You're going to have to be strong here more so than here. You understand?
Yes, sir.
You can do it. You just got to put your mind to it. And it's good to cry so you can work through that emotion. So when it arises again, you can push it to the side and do what you have to do. You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Let's see what you got. But you need to dig hard. Tell me what hard as you can.
I love it. Wow.
That's great.
And I love what you said about weeping. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of that young man. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of all those boys that were sitting there watching all this and listening. And I'm so proud of you for helping him understand what a man's like because you learned from the Father. Tell us some of your story that you would like people to hear and know that you believe God wants them to hear, mm-hmm. to be what God wants them to be.
When you bring up tears, you know, for so long, growing up in my community, the gold standard was the hyper-masculine black male. And I tried my best to fit in what was called the thug life, you know, being this just dominant, dogmatic male who was fearless. And it wasn't until I became a comprehensive man that I realized what a thug actually was. And I made an acronym. A thug is a traumatized human unable to grieve. Mm. And that's why most of the time you see them, we're so quick to explode when something happens that's minor. Our capacity, we walk around with it here instead of allowing us to release the emotional pain and trauma that we've just been through. And so I ran from my calling from Christ when I was 16. He was calling me. And I was in my room. It was a dream. And it was an earthquake at first. And I fell to the floor. And I looked up. It was a soldier with a sword. And he says, we need you to fight for us. I says, no way. I hate the church. It's full of hypocrites. The pastors are pimps. You know, if they really were about the work of Christ, the community would be transformed. But when I look a mile radius around this one building, it looks worse than, you know, the so-called church. When I looked to my left, it was an image of Christ. And this is before the Passion of the Christ came out. He was completely covered in blood. Just like Isaiah prophesied that he was beaten beyond recognition. And he was in so much pain. And I got on my knees and I went and hugged him. And so when I went to hug him, all of the pain that he felt went into me and I fell back to the ground. And so then I wake up and my mother's going to work as normal. I run to the door and I'm crying and she says, what's wrong? I said, I had this dream and, you know, I told her what happened and she just broke down. She says, he's trying to call you, but you're running. I used to walk downtown in my own city and just pray and just walk the streets because I knew he was calling me to reach, rescue, and redeem his people in a way that I didn't know how at the time because I used to do Christian hip-hop music. I was a popular DJ in the secular world, but he wanted to use that to bring glory to his name in the culture. But quickly that came, shifted from that to creating the Cave of Adullam, where I teach, train, and transform boys into comprehensive men of the Most High. Men who are physically conscious, spiritually astute, mentally astute, but spiritually strong enough to navigate through the pressures of this world without succumbing to their negative emotions. And so that came from my father wound. Not having my father actively in my life, losing two brothers to homicide. Mm. And so I grew up alone a lot, walking, playing baseball by myself. I would hit the ball and have to get it. And doing that would go on and on. But during that time, I had a father there just with me. And I didn't know it, and I wasn't willing to allow him to train me because I'm like, I need this sensei to teach me. He says, there's no greater sensei than my Holy Spirit. So all the martial arts I've been through, none of my teachers can say what's happening now they can take credit for. I was no different than David being a shepherd, training against lions and bears. My animals were different. It were human beings dealing with boys. I would mentor drug dealers' sons. They would drop their sons off to my house because they felt safe. I didn't know at the time he was calling me to be his servant and minister to those who were hurting. And so that's how that journey started. But I didn't get to the place where I could actually yell a battle cry and wage the war that was inside of me until I allowed him to purge away my understanding of what it means to be a man by this world's definition, which is truly for us to only live under masculine attributes such as strength, boldness, and aggression. So there's no such thing as toxic masculinity. A man becomes toxic when he only allows himself to be masculine. So here it is, we're masculine males, but we limit the power of the Most High flowing through us because we only can be strong, aggressive, and powerful. But what happens when he needs us to be compassionate? What happens when he needs us to be nurturing? What happens when he needs us to be weak so that the power of his son, Jesus, is perfected through us? We can't because we're only taught to be masculine. Mm. So when my mother developed dementia, I was the provider. I could protect. I could make sure the pharmaceutical companies are not ripping her off. The doctors weren't just pill pushing and you were really looking at the trauma she's been through instead of just giving her psych meds. But what happened when mom repeated a question 30 times? What happened when mom curses at me because of her frustration, but I know she loves me? What happens when mom needs her hair done and the caregiver is just overworked, needs to be changed, needs her nails done? I had to become something more than masculine. And I actually prayed for her to die. I said, Abba, take her because she's no longer living. Mm. And in that moment, he says, Jason, that's not love, that's fear. Mm. He says, oh, in order to give your mother the care she needs, you have to become a comprehensive man like Yeshua. He was courageous, but also compassionate, strong, but sensitive. He lived from the good in his heart and never his fears. So when I became comprehensive, I could do her nails, I could rub her feet, I could massage her scalp when she was having hallucinations. I could go get her food when she just, whatever she wanted, and I would sit there. I denied my entire life for my mom.
Lord, I want every man and every woman to see what is so clearly revealed in Jason, and it's you, Father. I want all of you to know that this is what a father looks like. It's being carried by the Father, and the Father's love, courage, compassion, tenderness, strength. But when you've seen what fatherless does, and you've talked to so many kids, can't you see very clearly if this father became our father and we'd be his healthy family, it would change the world, wouldn't it?
No question. I mean, he's called the father to the fatherless for a reason. And what we have to realize as men, until we are spiritually healthy enough and mentally free, how does he father the fatherless? He uses vessels. But when we're only masculine to children who need the love of a man in their life, the nurturing and the compassion, we can't really fulfill that prophetic promise. And so it's imperative that as men, we break free from what I call emotional incarceration, which is a self-imposed mental imprisonment, where it appears to be a safe space with a wide open door. Because many men know this dark room you're in, where all of your addictions are. We know we can get up and walk out, but because of the fear of actually experiencing the emotions that we've been taught to suppress, like we're supposed to be fearless, or when someone is hurting, you could just lose your mother and we'll give each other a pound and say, stay strong. I know some of the greatest fighters in this world and none of them can stay strong. So what is it telling you when you're weak, when you need to rest? You know, that's when his power is perfected. That's when I'm used at, that's when you see Christ through me the most, is when I'm weak, when I'm to my wit's end, when I can't go any further. He says, now I can use you. Now this people will be healed because you are out of my way. And that's the...
Isn't this the kind of man that you believe every kid needs to have as a father and every woman would like to have as a husband.
Absolutely. As I was listening to you, I can really see that you really engulfed what God said, I will send my spirit to live with you and live through you. And you have captured the thought that God will never leave me nor forsake me. And you move in your life, in every aspect, knowing that God's Spirit is with you. And I think if we can all become aware of that, we think we're alone. We're never alone if we have God. God is right there in the midst of every situation that you face, and He will bring you through it. No, we don't get to avoid all the sadness or all the troubles that come our way, but He says, I'm there. And if we'll allow Him to teach us through those circumstances, through those hard times, then we come out of it with His Spirit full force in our lives, knowing and capturing God's true love for us.
Amen. I know David said it great. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And so that's one I keep with me, because carrying a cross isn't easy. People ask me, why don't you wear a cross necklace? I said, because I carry one on my back.
Wow. Wow.
And so I know what the journey is about, and I stay transparent because there is freedom in that. Mm. And Jesus, for Him to weep over His friend Lazarus, knowing that He could raise him, was profound to me, because if we're eating at dinner and you, God forbid, drop of a heart attack, and I had the power to raise you, I'm not shedding one tear. I'm saying, come forth, let's go. Why did He cry? Because He was still what? He was God, but He was in the flesh. And it was very important for Him to release that trauma of losing His best friend so that He can now gather Himself and perform a miracle of bringing His best friend to life. So think of us as men. The Bible says that we sharpen, or iron sharpens iron, so as one man sharpens another. The issue with us as men, we keep our swords sheathed, so we can't really see what's going on. But when we reveal that sword and that blade that's not sharp, we have to go to men who aren't just polishing partners, because we want to look good. We want to look like we can cut the sin away in our lives. But it's going to take friction from that stone or that piece of iron to make that blade sharp so that we can cut away those addictions when they come. A flirtatious woman who wants to pull you away from your wife and your family, or the father wound that makes you want to perform for God because you had to perform to even receive a father in a human vessel to love you. And now we're operating our relationship with the Most High, thinking we have to go above and beyond for us performing instead of just trying to be obedient and operating in a spirit of love. And so I had to fight and break through all of that. And God the Father showed me, He says, I love you for who you are. And as men, so often we find our identities in what we do. And because of that, we can't rest. We adopt the grinding lifestyle. When you look up the word, it means to torment, to crush, to oppress, to wear down. And when you look at so many of us as men, and even women, when we say we grind, we look worn out. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we have to be careful with what we speak. And so I don't grind. I work hard, but I rest harder so that I can recover.
I want to, Jason, I love you.
I love you too.
I see Jesus all over you. I see the Father. I want to do something right now. I want to beg you to get this book. Jason, we're going to show our viewers a young man that was saved because people who watch Life Today gave him food when he was going to starve. And his life was saved. Now he's grown. He actually works for the nation's leadership and national leadership. And it's a miracle of God. By the way, you help us help those who are hungry. And you ask for this book. We're going to send it to you along with Christmas Grace and some other gifts. But you're going to be given the greatest gift. You're going to be given life. Life now and for all eternity. Watch closely.
James and Betty Robison and Life Outreach International have been sharing life and love for almost 60 years. As part of the commitment to putting love in action over 30 years ago, Life Outreach introduced the Mission Feeding Program in Africa. According to our missionary partners, Mission Feeding has helped save the lives of 18 million starving children. Currently, Life Outreach helps feed over 350,000 children in crisis areas and supports village feeding programs to encourage school attendance and education. On one of our mission trips to Angola, our team met a young man named Jose, who grew up participating in the mission feeding program. As a child, he lived in a remote village and attended a school that received food every day. Jose went on to work as a mission partner within the feeding program, and his story embodies the heart of Life Outreach International and why it was founded.
When I was a child in a village like this, most of the time, we didn't know if we would eat each day. But when mission feeding came to my school, we got a hot meal every day during class. My friends and I were motivated to come to school and learn because we knew we would get to eat. If it wasn't for mission feeding, I don't think I would have gone to school. Before a feeding program comes to a village, not many children go to school. They stay home and work with their families. But when a school has mission feeding, the children are excited about school, and you see them running to the classroom each morning. I am very happy to be a monitor in the mission feeding program. I'm very proud that I get to help these children, just like I was helped as a child. One day, maybe one of these children will work for mission feeding too. I want to thank the mission feeding donors, not just because I work here, but because I am a human being. I live in this community, and I see the condition of the children. Please, do not stop helping. Carry on.
Well, I can't help but just want to shout. That young man is now working under the national leadership in Angola. And Betty, it's in Angola, where after we'd gone into Mozambique and some of the other hard-hit countries, we ended up in Angola. Civil War. You remember, you couldn't go the first times I went there. It was too dangerous. But we saw miracles. And that young man was one of those miracles, but there was another one. We were in a malnutrition clinic where we were furnishing all the medical things, all the things the doctors had to try to help save children when they're at the very last breath. And we watched a child die.
Yes, we did.
And we watched another while they were trying to get some oxygen in with a little tube, a little squeeze bottle. They didn't have oxygen like they needed. And we saw those children die. And in that same place, and that's what we said to you, let's save their lives. Betty, it was in that same place that one of the most famous pictures ever taken was taken. It was Princess Di, Lady Di, standing at that very clinic, right there in the area where he came to Christ, holding a little baby. And she said to the whole world, we've got to feed the hungry. And that little baby was healthy. That little baby had been saved by love.
That's right.
That young man that you just saw, he was saved in that program like that. And now he's touching other lives, like the millions that not only had their life saved, but they came to Christ. I'm asking you, I want you to be a part of impacting millions of children's lives. Right now, we're feeding 350,000 a day that we found in very difficult areas where they're so stressed out for food that the parents are crying out, please, God, help me feed my child. Well, you're the answer to that prayer. I want you right now to go get your bank card and use it like a check. Dial the number or go online and make the gift God put on your heart. $30, $50, $100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children. $1,000 will feed 100 children. God, if every person watching give 1,000 will. Jesus. At whatever level they can help, God, move them now. In Jesus' name. If you want to write a check, make it to Life, but call the number and tell us what you're putting in the mail. We have some gifts to send you that will bless you. This is Christmas Grace, devotionals that will bless you and let you see Jesus so clearly, even as we move into this time when we're celebrating His birth. The tumblers, hot, cold tumblers, are two of them we send. His love never fails. It doesn't. And that's what you're sharing. We want to send you things that will bless your life because you are a blessing. You're the miracle to so many, just like that young man you just saw. Would you please go online or dial that number and say, here's the gift I want to give. Please do it. And thank you for it.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition. and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. This urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christmas Grace. This eye-opening new 31-day devotional will give you a fresh perspective on the greatest gift ever given and the life-transforming hope found in Christ's birth. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Love and Thanks Tumblr set. With scriptures reminding us that God's love never fails and to always give thanks, these tumblers will keep drinks hot or cold wherever you go. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I pray every single one of you made the gift God put on your heart. Thank you, because you're giving life. It's the greatest gift. If you want the book, you can get it online or in the bookstores, but we'll send it to you. You help us feed those children that need food and need to know where life comes from, and you want this, we'll send it along with the other gifts that we're sending you. Jason, we're going to stay friends forever, and we're going to be waging and winning the war within,
yes,
the invisible world.
Yes.
And the father of lies is going to be overwhelmed by the father of life and transforming truth that makes us free. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. You keep praying for us, too, and I'm sure we're going to be crossing paths probably quite a bit from now on for His glory to see the church get healthy and men to get healthy. Thank you so much for watching Life Today, and thank you for sharing life today.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family. Do not put off this important step to peace of mind. Contact Life Planning Services today.
And I think you can know that maybe you've idolized tradition if you're highly offendable if someone dares even touch it.
Prepare Him Room, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.